On the KSRO live line with us is Rick Wilson. He's a Republican strategist. Good morning to you, Rick.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, sir. Glad to have you here this morning. So the big meeting, the big state dinner, et cetera, between Emmanuel Macron here in Washington, D.C., spending time at the White House and in Virginia, and it should be quite the affair, yes?
Well, it should be. The leader of the free world is going to be dining with Donald Trump.
Now you've been talking to Macron, huh?
Well, he has certainly stepped up in the last couple of months as someone who is talking like an American president would have spoken just a few years ago.
Yeah,
because he's clearly committed to a multilateral global order. He's clearly committed to stability and peace in the Middle East and the world, in ways that we don't always hear from Donald Trump with the same sort of passion and conviction, because Donald Trump is, you know, he's obviously his theme, his branding of Make America Great Again is essentially centered on America only, or America, you know, the America
yeah.
first thing. It
yes.
also means America alone, unfortunately.
And you are, it sounds like, Rick, you're a GOP strategist, but you're not particularly a Donald Trump fan. I mean, chapter and verse, you call him a closet Democrat, right?
I think Donald Trump is a closet autocrat at the minimum. I think he was a New York liberal for decades.
Yeah.
You know, who didn't believe in any of the things that Republicans ostensibly claim to believe in. You know, including things like limited government and the Second Amendment and pro-life things. All those things were not Donald Trump's oeuvre as a New Yorker, and I think he sort of wears them with a certain level of discomfort. But I do think the one thing that's genuine about him is he has a sort of autocratic streak and a sort of le tête c'est moi. Desire to be treated more like a royal.
I don't know, Rick. You're throwing a lot of French in here. Just because Macron's in the country doesn't mean. Will Trump serve out his first term fully?
I think he probably will. I think the chances of impeachment are very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say he shouldn't be. It's to say he won't be. You know, the difficulty of getting an impeachment in the House is one thing, and I think that's going to be something that could happen. The difficulty of getting a two-thirds vote in the Senate is even if the Democrats have the best day they could possibly have in November,
right?
You're still not going to get to two-thirds in the Senate very easily. And the problem then is, even if you get there, how do you make him comply? So we're sort of in a post, we're sort of in a dangerous post-presidential era.
So what do you do as Republicans? I mean, you want to get things done. Obviously, there's much in common, at least with where the president says he stands. And so what do you do if you're true diehard Republican and this particular man is in the Oval Office?
Well, I think the thing that Republicans have forgotten about how to do is to follow the intent of the founders and the Constitution, which is when you're a representative, a member of Congress, you're supposed to represent the people of your district.
Yes.
And when you're a member of the Senate, you're supposed to represent the people of your state.
Yes.
And right now, Republicans have decided that they're going to represent Donald Trump's interests before the interests of their constituents.
Isn't the electoral process the same, though, as that the people in your district or in your state are actually the ones who can vote you, back in or can vote you out? So it seems like there should be particular attention paid to those folks.
The folks that are going to end up in trouble this year are the ones from districts that are not particularly pro-Donald Trump, but they've run as candidates who are fervently, passionately, rabidly pro-Trump.
This makes us believe even less, Rick, in the words of our politicians, as if we needed another reason to doubt the words, but this is further proof, it seems to me.
Absolutely. There's a lot of cynicism here, and an awful lot of Republicans who really don't love Donald Trump in private are terrified of his Twitter feed and terrified of his base, and so they don't want to come out and say what's truly on their minds, what they truly believe, because they don't want to get yelled at, and they don't want to have the crazy people You know, the minute you criticize Trump, you're going to be in for a wave of death threats from your fellow Republicans and screaming and you know, hissy fits and ridiculous memes and alt-right attacks and all these other things. So these guys have actually sort of, you know, they've lost some of their moral courage, if they ever had any, when it comes to Donald Trump and when it comes to standing up for them for the things they claim to believe in.
Would a significant number of Republicans, Rick, be happy with Mike Pence in the chair?
Sure. A lot of Republicans would be delighted with Mike Pence in the chair.
Yeah.
And not even because they disagree with him ideologically, but they think that temperamentally Mike Pence is someone who will behave. And frankly, I've talked to a lot of Democrats who would be okay with Mike Pence because they recognize that temperament does matter as president. You know, the historian Stephen Laurent called the presidency a glorious burden. And most presidents are shaped by the office, no matter what they look like or seem like before they come in. The office matures them and ages them and changes them and makes them understand the gravity of the situation of being the leader of the free world.
And then again, some people feel that if you, and say out loud, if you think you dislike Donald Trump, if Mike Pence were president, oh my God, you would hate that situation.
Oh, listen, I will say, I think that's absolutely right. I think there are an awful lot of people who the stability of Mike Pence and the calmness of Mike Pence would be a relief from Donald Trump. But ideologically, there are a lot of things about Mike Pence that will cause some major heartache and some major anxiety with folks in the center and the left. And frankly, you know, the Republican Party was traditionally one of these three-legged stools, as they say, where you had social conservatives like Mike Pence,
right,
fiscal conservatives like me, and foreign policy conservatives also pretty much like me. And we all lived in a sort of a peaceful coexistence. And I was saying, you know, there were tensions between the three branches of that movement. But, you know, generally speaking, those were explicable and understandable lanes that we all operated in. Mike Pence is very much on the social conservative lane, which has been, frankly, the weakest part of the Republican primary or Republican sort of coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Increasingly, because they're just out of touch with some things where society has changed. Specifically on gay marriage, specifically on marijuana, those things have sort of, you know, changed the landscape of the Republican Party because, you know, Republicans like myself, I'm a limited government conservative.
Yeah.
So I don't think the government has any business telling you who you can or can't get married to.
It's an interesting quagmire, isn't it, for Republicans
really
to try
is.
To figure out where to go from here and what to do next and who to throw your support behind. Well, Rick, I appreciate the conversation, and I always love talking to a Republican that really can have a great conversation about all of these issues, and thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. That is GOP strategist Rick Wilson. Yeah, we can agree to disagree, but we can still have a worthwhile conversation about it.